Okay, yeah, I'm thankful for being here. If you guys give me just a minute, I'll get set up. Okay, so I believe that most of us have heard of David's mighty men. And today I want to talk about this group of men. And these are men that often that seem to have kind of stood in the shadow of the king. We know about David, and we know about Goliath. We know about David's ascension to the throne. We know about some of the victories there and his failures. We know about Psalms. And we know about the kingdom that David helped set up. I do want to be fairly clear. I think a lot of times we hear stories about men in the Bible, and it doesn't matter who that man is, that's us. Right, guy stands in the pulpit, oh, it's David, that's me. That's Job, that's me. That's Solomon, that's me. I mean, none of us are David. You know, a man after God's own heart. I think if we accepted that, we'd be closer. But today I want to speak about his mighty men. Okay, not because they were famous, and not because they were strong or like in a physical sense, and not because they were wealthy by any means, and they weren't powerful by the world standards, but they embodied something that's increasingly rare. It's very, very rare. And you see that rareness when somebody thinks they're going to miss out on something. If somebody thinks they're going to get somebody else is going to get something over on them. That one of the things that's rare, loyalty. You want to see how loyal people are? Let somebody think they're going to miss out on something. What about courage? Courage. Okay, endurance. How about strength under pressure? What about faithfulness when nobody's actually watching? So the transformation, so we're talking about 400 initially. The Bible talks more in depth about the 30. But the transformation of these men, these broken men into David's mighty men, okay, which I think the Bible calls it the Gibeon, or they called them heroes, warriors, the mightiest. And I think the story of these men is one of the most profound examples of both leadership in David and then in spiritual transformation in the men. And it's one of the most profound in Scripture, really. And they didn't change overnight. Okay, they were made through years of adversity when they didn't even know that it was coming. They went through spiritual togetherness. They had battles in the wilderness, and I think the Bible outlines several I'm going to call them pillars, several solid stances that kind of helped their journey from being these type of social outcasts into a type of well-known, legendary warriors protecting their family, protecting the people. And so the first one, I believe, So being able, both the mentoring from David and the meekness of the men to be mentored. Instead of resenting these men when they showed up, David accepted the role as their captain. Okay, and he poured himself into them. And through this type of leadership, he taught them how to direct their maybe bitterness or animosity into a type of purpose. Okay, he watched, the men watched him go through his trials. He handled how he handled betrayal. And still he refused to harm those that were betraying him despite multiple opportunities. And by observing this high standard, that standard that David had of integrity before anybody respected him, certainly not Paul. I mean, he was on the run. Saul, he was on Solomon. He was, Saul, he was on the run. Because of the mentorship and the time together and their heart geared towards David, they slowly took on his character, they took on his loyalty, and they took on his heart. Another one, they had a shift in their spiritual focus. So when a lot of the scholars look at the Psalms that David wrote while hiding in the cave, such as 57 and 142, David didn't let these men wallow in their complaints. So in Psalms 34:3, which is heavily tied into the area, he shifted their focus away from what was termed as their massive debts, their personal distress, toward the power and faithfulness that of God. And while doing this, he was able to turn their mentalities from this victim-type mentality into a victorious mentality. So the wilderness of Judea became a natural proving ground. Because for years these men lived as fugitives, and to survive constant pursuit of the king and his armies and attacks from all the other nations that were around him, they had to master warfare. They had to master their own discipline and their own lives. And they had to master absolute teamwork. And they evolved from this undisciplined, distressed victim mob into a very structured, very, very cohesive, and very lethal military type of unit. And if you can't see it, the fourth one, shared struggle, breeding brotherhood. Okay, true loyalty is not usually forged and created in a palace. This one here was built in a cave. Okay, they shared hunger, they shared cold, they shared isolation. And through that, it created an unbreakable bond unbreakable brotherhood. Because they had all hit rock bottom together, they were uniquely willing to sacrifice everything for one another and for David, who God had anointed to be their future king. And by this result, by the time David finally took the throne, this group unknowingly had become the most elite special forces of Israel's history. So when we open our Bibles to 2 Samuel 23, we find a list of these warriors. And God saw it fit to preserve their stories. Why? Because God honors faithfulness. And God remembers sacrifice. And God records obedience. And the world likes to celebrate celebrities. But God likes to celebrate servants. Most people remember David. Even non-Christians will remember David. God remembers the mighty men. If you can consider who these men were, right? Most were not born into greatness. Many came from difficult circumstances. And when David was hiding in the cave of Adullam, Scripture tells us that the men gathered together were distressed, in debt, and discontented. So think about that. These are not polished leaders. These are not respected citizens. Distressed, in debt, and discontented. These were broken men. They were frustrated men. They were men who were carrying burdens. They were men who were carrying scars. Yet they found themselves gathered around God's anointed. And under David's leadership, these men became mighty men. So God does not begin with perfect people. God begins with willing people. So the world usually says something like, find the talented. God says, find the faithful. The world says, find the impressive. God says, find the available. One of David's mighty men, the Bible says, he lifted up his spear against hundreds of enemies. Now, who thinks he did that to be esteemed? I think he did it out of self-defense. He probably did it because he didn't know what else to do and he didn't have any other options, not because he wanted a story recorded about him and not because he wanted like a parade after him. Another one, the scripture says, fought until his hand clung to the sword. So the battle lasted so long, the fight became so intense, and the pressure became so severe that his hand literally locked around the weapon like carpal tunnel. Just snapped into place. Couldn't release it. Charlie horse, whatever. But he could not let go. Okay, there are moments in life when everything in you wants to release your grip. You want to release your grip on hope. You want to release your grip on prayer. Or on righteousness. But mighty men hold the sword. Even when their hand hurts, even when they're tired. Even when everybody else leaves. So, there's seasons in life where your emotions are not going to sustain you. So the mighty men teach us endurance, okay? What's not going to stain you is pats on the back, all right? Attaboys. What's not going to sustain you is easy triumph, okay? Endurance. The ability to stand when others flee. The ability to continue alone. We live in a culture that glorifies comfort, but Scripture glorifies endurance. And I can tell you, comfort has never built character. Comfort hasn't created warriors. Comfort never created mighty men. But pressure does. Responsibility does. James says that the testing of your faith produces patience. So here with David's mighty men, we have one of my favorite stories. So there are three mighty men that heard David express a simple desire. So David said he wished he could drink from the well. Right? He wished he could drink from the well. He wasn't issuing a command. He wasn't making a demand. He just expressed a longing. But somehow these men loved their king so deeply that they broke through the enemy lines, they traveled into danger, drew water from the well, and brought it back to David. Okay? Loyalty. Devotion. Commitment. And when David received the water, you're going to suffer, I'm going to suffer. There's no way that anybody under my leadership or my responsibility is going to give themselves for my benefit. Because he's seen the sacrifice. He understood the water was something greater. It represented loyalty. He said, I can't do it. Loyalty has become incredibly rare. People are loyal when it benefits them. People are loyal when the road is easy. But biblical loyalty remains when things become difficult. The mighty men were with David when he was hunted. They stayed when he was in hiding. They stayed when he was rejected. They stayed before the crown appeared, right? Everybody celebrated David after the victory. That's easy. Few are willing to stand beside each other in the cave. The cave reveals character. The wilderness reveals loyalty. It's easy to follow God when prayers are being answered. It's easy to worship when the blessings are flowing. It's easy to testify when the victories are visible. But what about when the answer is delayed? What about when the battle's long or when life is difficult? Okay, that is where mighty faith is developed. Not in comfort. Not in ease, but in endurance. Another thing that we learn from these men is that greatness often looks ordinary. Most of their lives were probably pretty uneventful. Most days, they're just preparing, training, watching, waiting, serving. The world loves dramatic moments, all the emotionalism. God works through daily consistency and faithfulness. Showing up. Praying. Working hard. Honoring your commitments. Not making commitments that you can't keep. Leading your family. Keeping your integrity. Telling the truth. Serving faithfully. And repeat, and repeat, and repeat, and repeat, and repeat, and repeat, and repeat. It's not that exciting. But that's how mighty men are built. Character isn't formed in a moment. It's formed through thousands of consistent daily decisions that nobody sees. One prayer at a time. One decision at a time. One act of obedience at a time. The mighty men remind us that God sees every one of those decisions. Nothing escapes God's attention. Every unseen sacrifice, every act of obedience, every private moment of integrity, every battle won when nobody else even knew there was a battle to begin with, God sees it. God remembers it. God honors it. And God uses those things to form inside the person who they are, who they have to go to bed with their thoughts. And ultimately, these mighty men point us towards something greater. They point us to Christ. Okay, because David was a king, but Jesus is the King of Kings. David gathered the mighty men around him, but Jesus gathers his disciples around him. David had very loyal followers. Jesus has redeemed followers. David fought earthly enemies. Jesus fought and conquered sin, death, and hell. Okay, the greatest act of courage in history was not performed on a battlefield. It was performed on a cross. And Jesus stood where no one else can stand. He carried what no one else can carry. And he endured what no one else can endure. Because he was faithful, we can be saved. Because he endured, we can overcome. And because he conquered, we can have hope. So let's look at this challenge that I'll have for you. Okay, this week, be faithful. Stand firm. Hold the sword and fulfill your duties. So even if you don't sit on a throne, even if you don't have your name written in lights, or you're not put on a chair on the back of a trailer going through a parade, you may never get the recognition that you feel you deserve, but that's okay. If you remain faithful, your name matters. I was looking at sharing a poem here, and since there's time and no children, I'm just going to read. I'm going to read a poem. Still We Stand. When the heavy clouds conceal the day and distant hope seems far away, hold fast your ground, endure the strain, for calm returns after the rain. Do not surrender to your fear, nor let despair draw ever near. The soul grows strong through trial and test, not in the hours of ease and rest. What comes will come, let fortune spin. Guard well the world that lies within. Though fate may challenge all you've planned, it cannot rule where you still stand. Still we stand and still we rise with steady hearts and patient eyes. The road is long, the night is wide, yet God remains our faithful guide. Still we stand, still we strive, keeping purpose well alive. Through storms may rage across the land, they break before the soul that stands. Many seek a distant light to lead them safely through the night. Yet wisdom whispers soft and clear, the flame you seek is always here. The crowd may praise, the crowd may blame, tomorrow neither stays the same. Let others cease, chase their brief acclaim, let virtue be your truer aim. For what is gold, what is flame, if both are lost as quickly gained? A life of honor, firm and true, leaves greater wealth behind you. Still we stand and still we rise with steady hearts and patient eyes. The road is long, the night is wide, yet God remains our faithful guide. If someone stumbles by the way, then lend your hand to help them stay. For every mountain you ascend was climbed with help from foe and friend. If someone wanders from the trail, guide them through the wind and gale. The kindness that you freely sow may be the help you'll need to know. United trees withstand the breeze, alone they bend with greater ease. So build with love and act with grace and leave the world a stronger place. Still we stand and still we rise with steady hearts and patient eyes. The road is long, the night is wide, yet God remains our faithful guide. Share your bread, though it be small, for generosity crowns them all. Speak the truth, though pride may sting, a faithful tongue is worth a king. Plant good seeds in patient hands and trust the wisdom time commands. Some teach the word, some do the deed, yet both fulfill a worthy need. The harvest grows beyond our sight, fed by labor, hope, and right. What we build with care today may guide another's future way. So when the shadows cross your land, meet them with a steady hand. For though no promise lights the way, persistence wins another day. Still we stand and still we rise beneath uncertain changing skies. Yet not because the path is grand, but because we choose to stand. Still we stand and still we rise with steadfast hearts and open eyes. And while we breathe and while we can, we meet the world and still we stand. So David's mighty men were remembered because they stood when others ran. And may the same be said of us. So may we be a people who remain faithful even when the faithfulness is costly. And may we be a people who endure when endurance is difficult. And may we be a people who can honor God irregardless of the circumstances. Because nobody needs to actually see our victories except God. Because when my race is finished and your race is finished, there is only one king who is actually going to look upon me and say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant."